injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Well, you know, I'm all prepared to talk about taped conversations with James Comey and Sean Hannity's remarks with Newt Gingrich about eliminating the press corps from the White House. And then something just drops in my lap as I'm about to record this podcast with John Nichols from the Washington Post. Trump reveals highly classified information to Russian foreign minister and ambassador. John, tell me it isn't so. Not a man with the depth and intelligence that Donald Trump has.
Yeah, you see, I think you're getting at the heart of the matter here, because he may have the defense of ignorance. I mean, I don't know. Does that qualify after you've sworn an oath to protect and defend the country and its constitution and all that? Can you say, well, I just didn't know what I was doing?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
That might be a question that a congressional hearing might be asking at some point.
It is interesting that this comes a day after he fires the FBI director for expanding the FBI probe.
It certainly is interesting. The timing is interesting. And you realize that if you take a deep breath, step back for a second, think, okay, how will a history of this moment be written? You understand? It'll be like breathless, right? It's like, on this day, this happened. And on that day, you know, the next morning this happened, and, you know, it kind of like it clicked through all these things. And people will think, when they look back, that it was some sort of coherent whole, right? That there was, you know, it was clear what all was happening. You had a president who was in a lot of trouble. He was so out of control. He wasn't even thinking right, that, you know, not recognizing the incredible absurdity of, you know, firing a guy who's supposedly, and we're even given that break, supposedly looking into your connections with the Russians. Then you meet the next day with the Russians, right? And then it's revealed that while American media was left out of the meeting, Russian media got in. And then it's revealed, as we now talk about, that what was discussed was not just social niceties, that you may well have been dealing with some fundamental questions and some fundamental issues of great consequence, and that this president wasn't supposed to be discussing. You understand what I'm saying is that if you read that in a history 10 years, 20 years from now, and you hadn't lived through it, you would think, well, I mean, clearly these were the final days before the removal of that president. But as the Saturday Night Live routine suggested the other night, you know, maybe nothing matters anymore.
Well, that's a very good question. So it turns out that he revealed information, and this all has to do with laptops and exploding airplanes and the next attack. And I've been following the story about the ban on laptops coming in from with foreign
from
flights.
Yeah.
But evidently what Trump revealed to the Russians is more than what we've revealed to our allies.
Yeah, you're telling me, I mean, we're all learning about this.
I'm just reading through the Washington Post story.
No, I'm not in any way doubting you. I'm just saying that gets to the heart of the matter, and being a little cautious in commenting as this story just develops, I will only say that this is one of the huge concerns that our allies have. And that is, which side is the U.S. on anymore? I mean, where does the U.S. line up? Is it with a special relationship with Britain? Is it with the central country, the central kind of organizing premise of the European Union, Germany? Is it with our oldest ally, France? I mean, who do we inform first? Who do we consult with? And when you get information like this suggesting that the president might be first consulting with or first sharing information with the Russians, that isn't just bad news, right? It isn't just a bad thing. It also sends a signal to our allies that they have to reorganize. They have to reorganize their premises. Instead of, when they get information, they share it immediately with the United States. They may be cautious about that because of where it might end up. If I can just finish this one thought. The only reason I say all this is if we are in such a circumstance, this president is dramatically endangering the United States of America by breaking those lines of trust.
How'd you like to be in charge of Lithuania or Estonia or any of the countries that have joined NATO that are in Eastern Europe? How'd you like to be in their situation watching this?
Well, I don't know. Let's throw the Ukraine in.
Ukraine.
Yeah, that might be an interesting one there.
Right. But Russia's been messing with all these countries.
Well, I mean, what we have is a lot of evidence that the Russians have, a broad strategy as regards Europe. We don't know exactly what it is in every sense. Some people will claim they know. But there's clearly a broad strategy of intervention. That strategy appears, if what we're hearing is correct, it appears to have extended to the United States. What's interesting is that countries like Holland and France were capable of figuring it out. They had media systems. They had political cultures. They were capable of, dealing with these issues. What country wasn't capable of it?
The United States.
It's a little unsettling if that's the case.
Officials expressed concern that Trump's handling of the sensitive information, as well as his grasp of the potential consequences, exposure of intelligence stream, has provided critical insight into the Islamic State. They said it could hinder the United States and its allies' ability to detect future threats. It's all kind of shocking, said a former senior U.S. official who is close to the current administration officials. Trump seems to be very reckless and doesn't grasp the gravity of the things he's dealing with, especially when it comes to intelligence and national security, and it's all clouded because of his problem with Russia. That is the paragraph that stood out for me in that article.
It does stand out, and it's also, you understand what they're trying to communicate there. Newspapers, responsible TV stations or networks, when they've got some information that is jarring, they try to tell you as much as they can about how they got it without revealing the source. So, and read that again. Read back just the source there.
Let me just pull that up again. It's kind of shocking, said a former senior U.S. official who is close to the current administration officials. Is that a friend of H.R. McMaster? Is that a friend of
It could be any
Mattis?
That's what I'm saying. It could be any number of people, even up to Panetta, who was very close, at least for a long time, to John Kelly, who was over at Homeland
Security.
So in fairness, it could be a Democrat, it could be a Republican, but what the Post seems to be saying there is, we have a source who isn't just, speculating. We have a source who's conscious of what is going on, or at least consciously concerned, and that's a pretty, the longer the description of the source is, Sly, or the longer the description of the person reacting is, the more they're telling you they're very, very confident in what they've got.
All right, let's get to what's been going on with Donald Trump. He spoke to, of all people, this weekend. He's been avoiding most of the press since the Lester Holt disaster. Judge Jeanine Pirro. You may remember Judge Jeanine is the one who has been going after Paul Ryan. Here she is. She's the Saturday night host on Fox.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea that in a tweet you said that there might be tape recordings?
Well, that I can't talk about. I won't talk about that. All I want is for Comey to be honest, and I hope he will be, and I'm sure he will be, I hope.
He doesn't want to talk about it. That's why he tweeted it.
It kind of begs a follow-up, does it? You know, why did you tweet it if you don't want to talk about it? And the other follow-up might be something along the lines of, was that a threat? But, you know, give Judge Jeanine, you know, credit. She at least asked the core question. And you realize, Sly, that if I'm right in the hierarchy of viewership and you know, like, status of shows, Trump may be calling you to do an interview any day now.
Could be. Here's another Donald Trump clip.
When we have those press conferences, mm-hmm. I actually said we shouldn't have them because Sarah Huckabee.
It's been 100 years we've been doing it.
No, but listen, but there's never been action like this. This is crazy. I mean, we're getting higher ratings. They're getting higher ratings on those press conferences.
Would you seriously consider stopping these press sessions?
No, we do it in a different way. We do it through a piece of paper with a perfectly accurate, beautiful answer. I'll give you an example.
In writing?
They're asked 100 questions or 50 questions or 20 questions. If they get one out of 50, just a little bit off, 5%, 10%, 20%, it's the next day it's a front page story in every newspaper.
Right, right.
Now,
so
press conferences weren't even covered for Obama practically. They were on C-SPAN and C-SPAN 2 and, you know, there was nothing going on.
But will you put an end to them?
Just a minute. These press conferences are like the biggest thing on daytime television.
They are.
Okay? You see the ratings.
Yes.
They're blowing away everything on just about, I think, everything on daytime television. What I'd love to do mm-hmm. is stop them.
Are you?
I thought he liked high ratings.
I think he likes high ratings.
So what's the juxtaposition here if he likes high ratings? He's got a lot of people are watching his press person on daily television now. What's the problem?
Well, technically, he's not getting that. And it's Sean Spicer, and they may be tuning in for comic value rather than...
You think?
You know, I don't know if you saw the Saturday Night Live.
Oh, of course.
Parody there. It was pretty darn good.
It was amazing. Well, so... conservatives, there are a few dead enders that are still kind of hanging on to this president in the media. And one is obviously Sean Hannity.
The president, I will say this tonight, he's absolutely right. If the propaganda destroyed Trump media, if they're going to smear and slander him and his administration and his family and lie about facts and what he's done, why bother? Why waste the energy trying to appease people who obviously hate his guts and want to destroy him and who twist his words and damage him every single day? Now, the president, he doesn't need fake news media to reach you, the American people. So you know what? As long as they keep reporting fake news, bizarre conspiracy theories, and show this bizarre fascination and paranoia about Russia, how about no more press conferences for the Hillary Clinton colluding media instead? I think every week the president should tweet out all of his accomplishments going back to day one, update people daily about what he's doing and what he's accomplishing. And the president is also, he can take to Twitter, he can respond to the barrage of attacks, this ridiculous conspiracy theory about Russia that is being pushed with no evidence and collusion. For example, the president earlier today.
Well, he says that stuff with a straight face.
Well, two things I want to point out here or suggest. Number one, it does appear that Sean has chosen a side.
It does appear.
Yeah. I mean, it's just in case anybody was lacking clarity there, and I think he's picked his side. And I mean by that in the whatever struggle there is between journalism, which is supposed to hold the powerful to account, and stenography, which is supposed to manage the information of the powerful.
You know, I'm just watching up my backyard here. I've got a raccoon in my backyard. How about that?
It's that time of year.
I guess it is.
Did I offer one other notion, though?
I've just never seen a raccoon in my backyard.
It's impressive, and this is for the genius of podcasting, isn't it? First off, Sean Hannity has chosen a side. Second, there is a raccoon in your backyard. Third, I think it's possible, I may be wrong about this, that Donald Trump and his allies have entered into the what is technically referred to as the Nixonian phase of obsession with media. And I would clarify one thing the president said in it with Judge Jeanine there. There have been press conferences that have gotten lots of attention. Media, you know, like presidential things have gotten lots of attention. They don't happen all the time, but I can tell you that those press conferences with Nixon and with his spokesman in 73 into 74 were actually getting a lot of attention.
Let me, one more clip here. This is the, this is the husband of the new ambassador to the Vatican.
My advice would be to use the White House press room with no press. And every day to have somebody come in, whether it's Spicer or by the way, I think that the Sarah has done a very good job in under very tough circumstances.
Sean Spicer.
But I would say, yeah, and Sean, I guess, is he back today from his military duty? But my point would be this. One of them ought to go in every day and give out the list of things that have been done. Maybe introduce a cabinet officer or a sub-cabinet officer or somebody who's done something positive. They should take the country through all the positive things they're doing and then leave, but not have the press corps there. Simply give a briefing. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Facebook. It may well be on C-SPAN every day. And say to the press corps, you take any part of this you want, but we're not answering your questions. I mean, the more they get sucked into dancing with the elite media, the more they're dancing on the quicksand of the swamp. And you, in the long run, that's not where the country is. It's not what the country cares about. And I think it is, frankly, a dangerous detour for them to play these games with the news media.
Dangerous detour, quicksand of the swamp. Very profound.
Have you noticed how stupid people always think that Newt Gingrich says profound things?
It's famous for that. Yeah, quicksand of the swamp. Now, can I just, maybe I'm the ignorant one here. Maybe Gingrich is, he's from the South, so he may know. Are swamps known for quicksand? I mean, I could be wrong. I literally am open to that. I always think of swamps as less of a quicksand situation.
Well, there may be some quicksand in my backyard because the raccoon is now up in my maple tree.
Oh,
and he's actually watching me record this podcast.
Well, this tells you how serious these issues are. It's now cross species interest in these issues.
All right, so this is. Pardon me. Can you imagine if Mike McCurry had decided Bill Clinton decided that Mike McCurry was just going to go out and read bullet points and ban the press from asking questions during the whole impeachment trial?
It wouldn't have been accepted. It would not have been accepted. Look, two things are true. Number one, media has degenerated dramatically, not in its attempt at quality, but in, literally the kind of atomization of media in the digital age. We have so many different directions that our information comes from, that traditional media, the three networks, the major daily newspapers, they don't have the heft that they had 20 years ago when Clinton was in trouble, 50 years ago or 45 years ago when Nixon was in trouble. So, things have shifted. But I still don't think that the notion of having a state spokesman, right, come out and make pronouncements, which then can be utilized as you choose, is going to go very far. And I'll tell you why, right? What would be the most successful variation? Because you said you could chop it up, use it on YouTube, do whatever you want. What would be the most successful thing?
The Trump's done?
Yeah.
So putting another fascist on the Supreme Court?
And take cutting it up and rebroadcasting. It would be the rapping raccoon repeating the press statement. I mean, it would become the stuff of such unimaginable parody.
Well,
right.
Look at this administration is becoming an act of ridiculousness. All right, we got to take a break here. John Nichols with us from the Capital Times at sliceoffice.com.
If you listen to this podcast, you clearly appreciate quality. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
We're back with John Nichols at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Okay, so we got Gingrich out of the way here.
He didn't do his wife, though.
Oh, well, you may want to rephrase that, John. But
why? You mean the ambassador to the Vatican?
Yes.
I think
I'm wondering. Do you think that, you know, I don't know. This is a long time ago. Congressman Gunderson has been gone from office, but do you think that she'd be able to use Congressman Gunderson's desk in her new duties?
Don't know. That's a question. There. I mean, my sense is that as the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See. It would be quite interesting to figure out who's kind of got more of a deep sense of the world as it stands today, the pontiff himself, the pope, or the valedictorian at Whitehall Memorial High School in 1984.
Well, there you go.
But I, as a Wisconsinite, I just want to tell you, I am proud to have, you know, Wisconsinites.
Well, and
once again, moving into positions of power,
as you should be.
When you think, just one last thing. I mean, you think this was straight out of Gingrich to Trump? Yeah, my wife should be the ambassador to the Vatican, or does Trump, you know, or did Callista make the case herself, or did Reince Priebus say, "Yeah, I got another Wisconsinite for you"?
This is really getting to be interesting on the level of contempt by some people for this administration. This is Steve Schmidt, who is John McCain's campaign manager, and he is no lefty.
The truth, the definition of truth, the notion that words matter in the English language, that they have meaning. We're a society, a nation of laws. You know, at the end of the day, it's not elections that make a democracy. It's the presence of the rule of law. And the rule of law is dependent on a understanding of truth, the ability to say the sun is rising in the east and setting in the west, and red is red and blue is blue. And look, we keep saying in these discussions, someday the credibility of this administration may be shattered. It's shattered.
Right.
It couldn't be more broken. No one has any reason to trust a single word that any White House spokesperson says. They're all serial liars. They lie constantly. They lie dozens of times a day. Lies compounding upon lies over this most recent example. And look, anybody, and it was clear from the beginning, should understand the nature of the lie. There's no elegance to it. This is like a five-year-old who gets caught with the jelly donut and the jelly glaze all over their face. And it's a Lucy in the Chocolate Factory
type of lie.
So I turned on the radio today, and Jeff Wagner, who does Charlie Sykes' show, he admitted that he doesn't trust the president and doesn't think he's an honest person. And then, you know, there were a couple of people that backed up the president, but there were all kinds of people calling, including people that had voted for Donald Trump, that said now they don't really trust him.
Well, I mean, the polling is pretty amazing on this. There are people who definitely vote for Trump but don't trust him, which is kind of a fascinating calculus.
Yes,
it about is. But here's the other interesting thing about what Steve Schmidt said there. And, you know, in fairness,
Oops, you're breaking up a little bit there, bud.
I'm sorry. We're actually heading into big city here, so I'm hoping it works out. You let me know if there's any trouble. But in fairness to the Trump people, is it lying or is it ignorance? I mean, I think sometimes it's a tough call with them. And I'll give you an example. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, announced this week that Donald Trump is the CEO of the United States. So he can fire whoever he wants. I'm not kidding. She said she was asked, I think it was on Sunday, one of the Sunday shows.
Yeah.
She was asked.
I got to get to one more thing before we're done. Let me just say it's both. It's ignorance and it's dishonesty. And it's a really bad... It's a really bad brew. Here's the coup de grace for today. This is Speaker Paul Ryan, who was none too happy that Congressman Mark Pocan was in his hometown of Kenosha doing a listening session.
Speaker Ryan toured this paint and supply company this afternoon. He also talked with reporters. He was very pleasant, but it was clear he did not want to talk about a number of issues. The speaker did talk with local high school students at a program here that allows them to get exposure to the business world. Ryan says instead of hosting raucous town halls when he's in his district, he prefers to schedule events like this. The speaker believes a town hall on health care would be populated by people from out of state and would devolve into incivility.
I'm doing it in a way so that constituents don't go into a harassing environment. And so I want to make sure that constituents don't be agitated and walk into a harassing environment. I want to be able to interact with constituents in a way that they feel comfortable as well.
Well, it's interesting. This is a man who used to have listening sessions all the time. As a matter of fact, he used taxpayer dollars to advertise them.
Advertise them on radio.
On the radio, right?
On Charlie Tyson's show, I think.
Imagine if former Senator Russ Feingold had said that and canceled his listening sessions in places like Pewaukee. And you'll probably remember Russ Feingold's listening session from 2010 in Pewaukee with that woman screaming, "You better get your resume ready." I want you to imagine if Russ Feingold had canceled his listening sessions because he was being yelled at in 2010.
Or in Oostburg.
Yeah. Actually, the Oostburg people were a little more polite. I have to tell you, it was the Pewaukee ones that were really bad.
Okay, you've got the record there. Yeah. I'll trust you. I mean, it's an absurdity, right? And you know, the fact of the matter is Paul Ryan is as concerned about taking care of the people at his meetings, right, as he is about their health.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's
and you know, as far as people coming from out of state, he's the Speaker of the House. His health care bill affects all Americans. This is a man
struggles over the Illinois border.
Yeah, if somebody comes up from Palatine, I don't really think that's against any kind of rule.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think Dan Rostenkowski complained about, you know, who showed up at his meetings. And look, here's the bottom.
Oh, I don't know. That old lady that took her cane to Rosti's car.
Remember the one? There were guys jumping on
him. Yeah, right.
No, that might qualify as incivility. I think, you know, you might, most definitions would accept that. Ryan hasn't had that, though. I mean, you understand that Ryan's interactions with people in his district have been pointed at times, aggressive in their criticism of his policies. But I, unless I'm missing something, you know, relatively classic Wisconsin gatherings. And, you know, that gathering that Pocan went to down in Kenosha, I've heard many, many reports on it. I didn't hear that there was anybody who wasn't from Kenosha. Maybe there were. I mean, they may have been from other places, you know, in southeastern Wisconsin, but I didn't hear about some big importing of outside Wisconsin folks.
Well, the speaker looks really bad. Two more things. A, he refuses to comment about Donald Trump threatening former FBI Director James Comey.
Yep.
Well, he doesn't want to comment, and he just sloughed it off like, well, it's a tweet. Well, I'm sorry, the President of the United States threatening the former FBI Director, whether it's by Twitter or whether it's by passenger pigeon, is still a threat. Second, Congressman Mike Gallagher from Appleton, or Green Bay, I forget what city he lives in, he is really quite concerned and he's kind of made Paul Ryan look like Homer by pointing out that he's real concerned about the firing of James Comey.
Yeah. and lots of other people like, you know, Jeff Flake and Ben Sasse. And there's lots of Republicans that stepped up to say this is deeply concerning.
But this is a freshman congressman from Ryan's home state.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not dismissing that. But I will also say that, you know, look, I realize that Saturday Night Live is produced in New York City, which is not Trump country in every sense, right? But they still try to, I think they try to hit some kind of mark in their critique. And they are very, very rough on Trump. But I don't think anyone would suggest for a second that that opening that they did on Saturday night was rougher on Trump than it was on Paul Ryan. They literally had
two scoops of
ice
cream.
Playing Paul Ryan, given two scoops of ice cream, and then closing out by saying he lets me eat dog food. I mean, it was a lapdog reference in the most extreme level. I mean, that's a pretty rough place to be when you're the Speaker of the House.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. We will have another chapter probably tomorrow.
Who knows? Maybe we will.
All right. All right. Sly's Office.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.